listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Mark Cuban was on ESPN today and talked a lot about everything. You know, him and the Tampa Bay Bucks, Bruce Arians, are doing their Hollywood blockbuster tour. They're on every show twice a week. But I think some interesting stuff from Cuban.
Yeah, he's not as confident as he once was. He thought about a May start date to the NBA, I want to say about a week ago that was his thinking, or maybe 2 weeks ago. And now he says he's not totally sure. He thought before the start of June, but now, according to Mark Cuban, quote, who knows, so we listen to the scientists.
So it felt like that he got a little tongue-lashing from the commissioner, is my guess. Because it was like he had a set answer that he wasn't going to give an answer on any specific date. Did it feel that way to you?
It felt like, yeah, maybe he, after speaking and sort of giving some optimism, maybe there was a conversation and it was like, listen. It's less likely. I know you want to be an optimist, but let's not get everybody's hopes up, because then when a call comes crashing down,
yeah,
they're going to blame us and they're going to blame
you. I think the opposite. In this way, I think that the odds that it's May 30th or whatever have gone down with what he said. But I believe the odds that there's going to be an NBA finish to the NBA season have gone up. I believe we're venturing into, unless it's very unexpected, unless something happens that we're not currently contemplating, which is possible always, right, in life, I believe the odds have gone up with an NBA season. Because remember, as much as Cuban was non-committal, later in that interview, they asked him, you know, so in fact, Stephen A. said, well, you know, it looks like that there's a lot, you know, different ways there won't be a season. And Cuban jumped in and said, well, actually, I believe that we're going to get something done no matter, you know, I don't think he used the word no matter what, but it seems like that the problem he got pushback on was being so specific. Because
yeah,
people could latch onto it like we did. And it only makes sense. If someone says over-under is June 1st, I'm going to talk about the over-under is June 1st. But, so I think he avoided that without really being pessimistic in any way about the chance of the resumption of the season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think that, President Trump had this same issue, and when he threw out Easter as a hopeful time that the country will bounce back, that was their hope, and everybody latched onto that like that was a proclamation, which it wasn't. It was hopefully we can have the country economically start back up by then, but as we've seen now, it's going to be, you know, a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, hopefully not too much longer. And you know, listen, FDR... Franklin Roosevelt, as Archie Bunker would say back in the day, my mom and all my family loved the All in the Family. So that was on when I was a kid a ton. And it, you know, they talk about baseball during WW2, how FDR was adamant about keep baseball going. You know, Ted Williams might be over fighting, but you know, we need America's pastime. The NBA, you can see, is very aggressively, though, without trying to seem aggressive, trying to wrap their arms around it, because the NFL is benefiting in a way from, if everything goes the timeline that people generally expect, the NFL won't be overly affected by this initially. Again, who knows how this changes down the road or whatever. So that's a benefit for the NFL, right? You don't have this pandemic overly affecting your league, or let's say the least of any of the major leagues in America. But on the other hand, when you're in a fight with someone, when they're your brothers in arms, as they say, you feel closer. You feel an affinity to them, right? I want to be in a foxhole with that guy. Well, the NBA, it seems like, is purposely, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but they're trying to be like, hey, we're on the front lines with the American public. And by coming back and in a way representing, turning the corner, representing the worst is behind us, is the result. When that first ball goes up, the tip ball, you know, the first tip to start the game, if that is symbolic, Jonas, of America's back, then the NBA's won a big victory there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, whenever these sports do come back, I think there's going to be such an appreciation for them because they were gone, that it's going to be really celebrated. And the NFL is just luck of the draw, I guess you could call it. The NFL got their Super Bowl done, even got their combine done, and the only real, you know, mandatory playing that needs to come up next would be a season, and that's several months away. So these leagues are suffering, but when they come back, I think they will be celebrated for sure.
And I think that being symbolically representing that is something the NBA sees great value in, and I think they're right. And I think that makes the odds of us getting a season or the finish of the season even higher. We talked about the NFL. I think we were both around 90%, a little bit less, that there'd be an NFL season, Jonas.
Yeah.
I would say NBA season, I would put up above 80 myself. Because I've heard talk of even, just make the playoffs 2 out of 3 games. You know, play all the round. I mean, if you're hearing that floated, and it's by people that wouldn't just make it up, I'm not saying that's likely or anything. I'm saying if they're already saying that's viable, well, geez, what isn't viable then, right? So meaning that unless no one's allowed leaving the house yet, it feels like they're going to get a season in. And to me, that's a good thing. Fez, what's your overall takeaway?
You know, I got to tell you, RJ, the news that Wimbledon got canceled today, not postponed, but canceled, has me more pessimistic, because what's safer?
You can't look at the British like that. I mean, the British are the British, right?
Hitting the ball 100 feet apart across a net, you would think they could have found a way to make this happen. So because of that, I've lowered my chance of there being an NFL season, but I agree with you. Still
lowered from what to
favorite.
What? Whoa. From what to what?
I'm down to, I was at 93%. I'm down to 75%. It starts on time.
All right. So this is beautiful. Then I'm going to lay 300. What's the limit here?
Well, 300 is my number.
I know. I'm going to lay minus 300.
Well, that's like a no vig bet. I don't have any edge.
Well, yeah, exactly. We go no vig. That's what we do here.
Fair enough.
We're going to wait till the other one's dead if we're going to be laying vig to each other, because it's not going to happen.
That the season will not start on time.
No, that's now you're making stuff up. You said, I'm going down to 75% to be a season. You didn't say start the exact day.
Misspoke. 75% it starts on time.
Isn't that interesting, Jonas? When the bankroll comes out is when people misspoke. If anyone wants to know why it's cold cash over hot takes, there it is. I think he's got to do a $300 to win 100 penalty bet. Just a little nuisance bet. In fact, Faz, I don't do this often. I'm going to have to rule on this. Wait, hold on. It's RJ CEO coming up. Ruling is $100 minimum, Steve Fezzik. You know, I agree with that, actually.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, do you think the season starts on time?
RJ are you talking to? CEO RJ or the host of the show?
RJ, the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Well, that one's a blend.
Do you think the season starts on time? Or are you 90% like you are that the season will take place?
That wouldn't be logical, right? Because obviously it's a lower bar to have a shift in the weeks by some modest degree than cancel the season. I think the odds of canceling the season are literally tantamount to equal to the odds that the whole world is changed and it's never going to be the same.
I agree. Right?
Because to me, that's the only thing that's going to stop there from being an NFL season. Like if somehow, I don't want to be like write the script to a scary movie right now, but if there's some mutation of this virus and now it's doubly as contagious and it's starting to kill like 20% of the people, obviously all bets are going to be off, right? It's time to worry about water at that point. And you won't ever see Fez again. He'll be in the mountain and no ISDN lines in the mountain. But other than that, I mean, tell me the scenario, Jonas. There's no NFL season that isn't that severe, meaning that the circumstances aren't that severe.
I mean, it would have to be catastrophic.
Yeah.
But I don't see that. And I find it hard to believe that the season wouldn't start on time.
Like I agree with that, but it is a lower bar.
Definitely a lower bar. But I mean, what percentage would you put it at and how would that equate to a bet?
I would probably put that percentage around Fez's number for the no season. I'd say 75% that it starts on time, 25 is a week or two shift.
Okay.
Because, again, it won't be necessarily because they can't be ready by September 4th or whatever, but rather, and this is why the Olympics is so complex, is there's so much lead up to some of these events. And the Olympics is, the you know, as complex as anything when it comes to all the different considerations when it comes to the logistics and security and all. So I'm really, if anything, you want to have some optimism. And Jonas, you follow the news, the breaking stories more than me. It broke. There was the Olympics were going to get pushed a year, but that was a false report, right? Is that they're saying it's possible, but it's also possible to start on time. Am I correct on that?
The last I saw was that they got postponed, that they got moved back.
Okay. You know, yeah. Something, maybe,
it is April Fool's, so you never know. To today's, there's all sorts of stuff out there that are.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. I think so, it's a done deal, RJ, that they're
postponed. Listen, after your minus 300. All right, so let's get that straight as we wrap up this topic. You understand, Steve, that that's only fair. You got to have the minimum $100 win for me if you put out a bad number like that.
That's the rules we play by on this show. The green button is pressed, RJ.
This is the life we've chosen, as Hyman Roth has said. And that is true. This is the life we've chosen. What I'm going to do is, let's do this, Jonas. Fez mentioned Wimbledon. Do you have any other take on that, or is this just the British being the British?
I have no idea what the British are. I've never been to England, so I don't know.
I haven't been hardly away from the Bellagio for a long time. But I'll tell you this. I watched out a few years of Downton Abbey, so I think I understand the British pretty well.
I think the reason why the NFL is getting so much pushback is because people are being almost overly cautious. Not that it's a bad thing. And I just wonder, because when was Wimbledon set to take place? June? If I'm not mistaken? Go ahead.
June 29th and finish July 12th.
I still think, can't we at least get through halfway through April?
You know what it is if you look at the politics in Britain, is there's a sense that they didn't take this seriously enough. And so what's happening is, and again, this is from a distance, obviously, but they're trying to, like, in retrospect now, start being draconian about, well, let's not have this. Let's take this seriously, because there's a lot of pushback amongst the voters. Gotcha. And that, hey, the government wasn't watching close enough. So, yeah I think there's going to be an overreaction, like there usually is. If something isn't considered enough, once that's shown, it gets considered perhaps too much after the fact, right? But the horse is out of the barn. To me, that's the only, without there needing to be as much legit, it's not like the British have any great insight into the global pandemic as, you know, greater than our scientists or other scientists. So it's not like inside information here. It's they have a different political environment today, and thus they're dealing with the information differently. Just like, let's be candid, President Trump is an optimist generally. He's a believer. If you read The Art of the Deal or look at his history, now, if you don't like him, you could say, well, he's a believer in this. And if you like him, you're going to say other things. But I think even the detractors and the supporters are going to say Trump believes in the power of positive thinking. And you never hear him wringing his hands a bunch. And to me, I think that, you know, you could make the case that was imperfect early, you know, talking about, hey, we might get to zero here soon enough, is, you know, meaning in a couple weeks at the time, that probably caused some people not to take it as seriously. But I think in my life, optimism, like if you have to say, are you going to be 10% too optimistic or 10% too pessimistic? If you had to pick one, I would always rather be 10% too optimistic. I think being an optimist hurts you only occasionally, and it helps you most of the time. But there are times, I think, and with something like this, with the prevention around it, you know, who's to say? I think that that's going to be a political debate. But in general, I would make the case that this is, with Wimbledon, more about their specific political situation.
Yeah, because if there's one sport where you could play a tournament and the fans factor in less than any other as far as these big tournaments, I would say tennis is the one. I mean, they tell fans to keep quiet while guys are on the court all the time. Tell them to keep down, keep quiet. So why you couldn't figure something out and last-ditch effort put on Wimbledon without fans in attendance? So it has to be a little bit of an overreaction.
Exactly. And think about it, Jonas, is this is so far out, you know, so all the way, I mean, we got April, May. We got literally like 90 days till Wimbledon was supposed to start. How in the heck does anyone know what's happening? Like, I mean, in 90 days, right? I mean, so to me, this is a perfect example. And you make a great case. If there was going to be no fans at Wimbledon, that would probably not hurt them as much as it would other sports. It goes to show you is, you know what they say, all politics is local, that there's local things going on in Britain that even watching Downton Abbey isn't going to, you know, give you insight on. I don't care how much you watch. And what I'll say about the NFL, which is related, you know, you talked about it just a little bit here. They're getting pushed back in the sense that they are seeming so sure of themselves. I actually think that's a bum rap with the NFL. I think that's wrong. I think their corporate counsel said, we're proceeding as if we're going to start when we expected to start on the planned date. That doesn't mean they're certain of it. If they thought it was a 60% chance, it would make sense to proceed that way. But now everyone's acting like the NFL is, yeah. So it's, you know, the media in general is you say something once, you say it twice, you say it three times. Every time it's a little bit less accurate, like anything, the game of telephone, as they say. So to me, to close up all the virus talk, I do believe Cuban is less sure about it could be, let's say, 7 weeks from now or 8 weeks from now, that soon. I think that we as a country should be more sure by some degree that come July 15th, let's call it, that the NBA is going to be back. It could be much before that. I don't know. But I have no reason, Wimbledon included, to be less optimistic than I was a couple days ago. So to me, that's the key point.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Kessler cut by the Pats. Now, did anyone expect him to do anything special? No. But it just really puts into stark contrast Tom Brady and what the Pats used to have. And for 18 years or so, it was this great thing. Obviously, his first 2 years, he wasn't a big name. But now you have not Cody Kessler, but Brian Hoyer and Stidham. Now, Fez, you do your quarterback rankings. You got your XFL rankings. Where's Hoyer at in your rankings? And how many do you have listed?
I have 39 listed, RJ.
30, Hoyer, how many? 39, you say?
Yes, Hoyer is number 38.
All right, so Hoyer's 38. Who could be 39?
Stidham.
So you're saying the two – now, what? Here's the confusing part. There's 32 teams. So you're saying there's seven quarterbacks or seven teams are going to get a second quarterback. How do you pick those seven teams?
Well, we got Winston, Dalton, and Newton floating around in Never Never Land. We got Burrow in the list. So
okay, so just because he's the number one pick. All right, that makes sense. But somehow, because there's a quarterback competition in theory, that's how you have Hoyer and Stidham.
Yes.
Okay. So not a big cause for optimism, but I think it fits Belichick's way. And here's what I mean by it. Mike Lombardi, who worked with Belichick for years and years at Cleveland and New England, he's talked about what he believes is going to be the decision-making process for the Pats. And he ticks it off very matter-of-factly. He said that he's going to get economic value. Right? He's not going to overpay a free agent. Well, we know that's Belichick's style. There's going to be competition. Okay, I like that. And then it's going to be whoever gets decided as the starter, they build the team around them, not vice versa. They don't expect the quarterback to fit the system. The system fits the quarterback. Okay, where does any of that have to do with a guy like Cam Newton come sweeping in? A guy like whomever, I mean, Winston. Some big trade. Maybe they're going to trade for Carr from the Raiders. No. Belichick has a certain way about him. And what that way is he's going to have a safety valve, a basement. And Brian Hoyer, to me, might be the worst starter, but he's one of the best backups, right? Because by definition, if you're 36, 37, 38, you're one of the better backups, aren't you?
Absolutely.
All right. So if Fezzik's ratings are right, and I don't think they are. I think Stidham has a lot of potential. he had statistically the best preseason of any non-Tom Brady quarterback in all the Brady years. It's preseason, but still, Belichick played hardball with Brady. I mean, there's no debate about that. If he wasn't confident in Stidham, wouldn't he be less aggressive against Brady? I don't think there's any savior coming in. It would go against Belichick's way. So right now you can bet, will Stidham be the starting quarterback? There's different odds out there, but minus 125 is out there. All right? So I'm going to bet it at that number. Go find it if you want it. But then I'm going to put a little something. I'm going to say maybe one-fifth as much on Hoyer, who's 10-1. All right? So imagine we're betting $100. It's going to be 125 wins 100 on Hoyer, then 20 wins 200, or I'm sorry, 125 wins 100 on Stidham, and then 20 wins 200 on Hoyer. So effectively, you got a nice win unless someone comes riding in and to save the day. I'm making this bet a little worse than even money that someone that starts for the Pats is in camp right now. So it's Stidham. 125 wins you 100, 20 to win you 200 on Hoyer.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.